Hey everyone, welcome back to episode 6 of Riotcast. And I just got more metrics. This podcast has only been out like 4 or 5 weeks now. I think 5 weeks at the time this releases. And obviously the following's not huge, but I'm very happy about how well it's doing. And in light of that, I think I'm gonna get a new mic. It might be a few weeks before it actually like shows up and stuff, but it should be better audio quality soon. And I just wanted to say I really appreciate you guys listening. You guys can actually follow me at Wyatt the Riot on Instagram, because I have not been using the Instagram for Riotcast as much as I should be. I've been trying to be more on top of it. But if you guys DM me there, or, you know, follow or whatever, you don't have to follow, just DM me. I'll answer the questions on the podcast. I'm very happy with how well this has been doing, considering, it's not like the biggest thing in the world, but it's doing better than I had anticipated. At first, I didn't know if anyone would even listen, so I really appreciate you guys, and I just wanted to say thank you. Now, last weekend, I had my nephew over all weekend, so it's kind of hard to get a podcast out, but I managed to do it. I intend on making this podcast, you know, I've had more time to work on this one, so I intend on it coming out a little bit better, a little bit smoother. This weekend and this week, my cousin hit me up, and he's like, "Do you want to borrow my VR?" Well, I guess I hit him up, but he said I could borrow his VR, for PlayStation. So I've had that all week, and I got a game called Firewall Zero Hour, and that game is so fun. It's basically like Search and Destroy in Call of Duty, except everyone's in VR. So, like, you know, you could shoot your gun upside down if you really wanted. And at first, I was using a regular controller, and it was hard as fuck, but now that I have the PlayStation gun, it's amazing. And you play with, you know, there's 8 people, real people with VR, you know, somewhere in the world. And again, it's like Search and Destroy. So, like, you're either defending this laptop or you have to find this laptop and hack it without the enemy team, you know, and you got to fight the enemy team while you're doing it, or, you know, kill the enemy team if you're defending the laptop. And I've been having so much fun with it. And, like, yeah, I just love it because, like, wherever you point your gun is, like, how it works. So, like, you can blind fire around corners. You can do whatever you want because it's VR. It's so cool. But I was playing it, and I was doing pretty good until I started playing against some actual veterans. And that's one of the cool things about VR is it's, you know, like, actual tactics work a little better than they do in, like, Call of Duty, for example, because, you know, you're actually aiming down sights and stuff. And I played against a few veterans, and then I played with some veterans, and that's a game changer. Like, there's some people in that game that are really good at playing the game, but there's some people who are, like, actual vets that, like, you know, they're just, like, posted up all crazy and, like, they're, like, moving, like, an actual squad, and so they, you know, they're killing dumbasses like me that are just, you know, playing for fun. It was brutal, but, I was playing with one, like, you know, he's telling us where to go, and, like, I don't think we lost a match with that guy, because he's like, "You post up here, and you post up here, and you cover him, and this and that," and, like, at one point, though, he was like, "Everyone needs to be super quiet, and we're going to ambush him right here." So we're all, like, hiding in this corner. And I took my gun, and you can hit it on, like, the brick wall in the game, and it makes sound. And he's like, "Who the fuck is doing that?" But it's an awesome game. And, like, I love that, like, actual tactics are rewarded in there. Yeah, if you're a veteran and you have VR, you'll probably kill everyone in that game. Because. But it's so much fun, guys. I would highly recommend that. And, of course, I'm still playing through Assassin's Creed 2. I had just beaten the first one, and it's remastered. Looks fantastic. I can't wait to get, Assassin's Creed 3 remastered. I'm gonna get that after I beat the Ezio collection, because I'm just rebeating them right now. That's just kind of what I'm doing for funsies. And hopefully this weekend, last weekend I went and saw, I saw Captain Marvel with my wife, and I thought it was going to take place post-snap, but it did not. But it set up that character, Captain Marvel. And I believe in the comic books, Captain Marvel was actually a girl. I think there was a different Captain Marvel that might have been DC that was a guy. And I think that's where the confusion is. I don't know. I'll look it up and I'll let you guys know. But, because, like, one of the biggest gripes is, like, he used to be a guy. Why is he a girl? And I don't think that he was ever a guy. I mean, he might have been a guy at one point, but I think originally it might have been a girl as far as Marvel's Captain Marvel goes. But, it was a good movie. I didn't really know much about the superhero until I saw the trailer for the movie and then watched the movie, of course. And I know a lot about a lot of superheroes. You know, I'm kind of a dork, but, like, I don't know. It was a good movie, but, like, after seeing, like, Infinity War and, like, Black Panther back-to-back, which were just freaking amazing movies if you saw them, it wasn't quite as good as those, although it was still a great movie. My wife really enjoyed it. There was parts where I was kind of like, eh, but, like, it was still a good movie. There's some awesome parts of it too, but, I don't know. I like that they had, you know, a female superhero lead a movie on their own, but, like, because, you know, they've had Black Widow beating people up in the movies for years, but she's never had her own movie. So it's good, but, I don't know. I wouldn't, like, super recommend it to you guys unless you're into the Marvel movies. It's, I don't know. I'm not, like, against it. I would say go see it if you're even thinking about doing so, because it was good. Just don't expect it to be, like, Black Panther. But anyways, I want to talk about some UFC news and the whole TJ Dillashaw thing. Now, I don't know a whole lot about what's going on there. And it really sucks, but he popped for PEDs, I guess, with his last fight. And he chose to make a post about it. And if you guys will bear with me for a minute, I'll pull up the post. But he chose to relinquish his belt, which I thought was kind of weird. I mean, not weird, but, like, I didn't think it was necessary. So he says, "To all my fans, I wanted to be the first one to let you know that USADA and the NYAC have informed me of an adverse finding in a test taken for my last fight. While words can't even begin to express how disappointed I am at this time, please know that I'm working with my team to understand what has occurred and how to resolve this situation as quickly as possible. Out of fairness and respect to the rest of my division, I've informed the UFC that I'll be voluntarily relinquishing my title while I deal with this matter. I thank all of you in advance for the support." So, I don't know, I don't think he used steroids, and I always give fighters the benefit of the doubt. Like, there's a lot of shadiness around Jon Jones, but I still try to give him the benefit of the doubt. You know, Sean O'Malley pop, I'm, like, almost positive he didn't use steroids. I hope TJ Dillashaw didn't use steroids, and I don't think he did, especially because he came out and made a post about it immediately. I would be heartbroken if he had, but as far as relinquishing the belt goes, if he's innocent, I think he should have kept his belt, but I mean, I guess I kind of get his mentality. He's like, I'm not going to hold up the division, you know, because if he's holding up the division, they're going to be like, oh, the belt's with some steroid user right now, you know, even if he didn't use steroids, other fighters are going to talk like that. So him relinquishing the belt while this gets figured out, I think it's good, because now we're not going to see interim title fights. We're just going to see title fights. And then when he comes back, you know, he's been on a terror. I'm sure, you know, assuming he's clean, I'm sure he'll come back just as good as he is and win that belt back off whoever ends up with the belt. I'm really bummed about this, and I think he got a year suspension, and I hope that gets reversed, because I would be very surprised if TJ Dillashaw, of all people, took steroids. In fact, I believe he's talked a few times about how careful he is as far as getting everything tested and checked with USADA. So I'm kind of surprised that anything could have made it through for him to pop. But I mean, these things have happened to other fighters. He's not the first fighter to get popped for, you know, something that wasn't steroids. So I'm hoping it's not steroids. I'm hoping there's no suspension. I'm hoping he gets his belt back as soon as this is all cleared up. And I'm hoping that, you know, he continues defending that belt because he is one of my favorite fighters. I think he's a crazy special talent in the UFC. And I mean, just as far as fighting goes, I think he's one of the most talented fighters out there in any weight division. So I'm really bummed about that. I don't know. And Henry Cejudo had a back and forth with, I think, Marlon Moraes, and he's already like, I beat a, you know, PED user in 32 seconds. Like, they had a little back and forth, but I hope this gets cleared up, and I hope he fights Henry Cejudo at 135. And I do think he can still beat Henry Cejudo. Like, I think Henry Cejudo, I don't want to say got lucky because he's crazy talented, but I think TJ Dillashaw beats Henry Cejudo. I think that the weight cut just dehydrated his brain so much that he got knocked out in that last fight. So, again, hopefully this all gets cleared up and we see that fight again very soon because, man, it always sucks when this happens to any fighter, especially the champ. So, I'm rooting for TJ Dillashaw. I hope, you know, this all gets figured out and I hope it gets cleared away pretty soon. So, just before I dive into my picks and stuff, I do want to just dive back into a little bit more of my personal life. I recently, my nephew comes over with these little Nerf guns that are like the cheapy ones that you can get for $5-$10, and he shoots me with them all the time. So I got those Nerf Rival guns, and those are the ones that shoot those little yellow balls. And those little yellow balls are a little bit outrageous as far as price goes. Like $6 gets you 25 of them, like $6.50 or something. Like, it's not cheap. And we bought 50 of those bullets plus what came with our guns. So there's like 69 of those little yellow bullets somewhere in my house. And we lost a lot of them, guys. But I ended up buying two more of them. Well, one more of them, and my buddy got one. And like, we were just Nerf battling it out while we were waiting for the UFCs. And I had originally gotten them for my nephew in a little bit so I could shoot my buddies. But they hit a little too hard to hit, you know, a two-year-old with. Whereas the other ones are kind of acceptable from, you know, a little bit of distance. Because, you know, he'll shoot at me and I'll shoot at him and he has fun. But with these ones, they're a little powerful. And they're a little big, so, like, he, you know, immediately sees mine and just decides, like, I want yours because it's cooler. And he'll grab it, and, like, he can barely shoot it, but then he'll shoot the wall, and it'll ricochet, like, 50 times. And I was like, ooh, okay, can't shoot him with that. So, I don't know what you guys are into. Nerf Rival, I mean, if you're an adult, no Nerf guns for you. But, like, they're kind of fun to shoot your buddies with. I don't know. I just wanted to talk about my little Nerf experience there. They're kind of fun. Definitely still more geared towards children, but like, you know, it's a little bit of fun shooting your buddies every now and then with them. So that's what my household's been up to, is just shooting little yellow balls literally everywhere. We found one in a plant the other day. So, I don't know, man. I'm thinking about getting this full auto one to surprise my buddy when he comes over. That way when he's shooting at me with his little pistol, you know, one shot every couple seconds, I can just rain down the firestorm with just thousands of rounds all over the house. I want my living room to be more yellow Nerf balls than actual house. But anyways, I am going to go ahead now and I'm going to dive into my picks for the next UFC. So one sec while I pull that up. All right, so this is UFC on ESPN2. So I don't know if this one will be on ESPN Plus, actually. You might actually have to have, like, regular TV for that, which I don't like. But, you know, it is what it is. I think it should play on both. But anyways, I'm going to start with the early prelims. There's only one fight on there that I am going to give you pick on. And that's Rate Borg versus Kyler Phillips. Now, I don't know a whole lot about Kyler Phillips, but I am a huge Ray Borg fan. And as you guys might be aware, like, his son's got some crazy hospital bills right now. And so it's a big deal for him to be able to get back into the octagon, because I think he was dealing with some personal injuries as well. So Ray Borg's been having kind of a tough time lately, especially with them trying to get rid of, you know, 125. So it looks like he's moved up to bantamweight in this fight. And even if I thought Kyler Phillips was going to win this fight, I think it's damn near impossible to root against Ray Borg right now, just because of everything that's going on in his life. And also I'm a fan, but I genuinely think that he's got this fight in the bag. I could be wrong. Like I said, I'm not a huge knowledge on Kyler Phillips, but I'm rooting for Ray Borg. I'm hoping that they pay him well for this fight, because, you know, he has been out for a while. I think he got glass in his eyes and shit when Connor attacked that bus. So I'm hoping they pay him well so he can, you know, get his son's medical bills all figured out. I hope his son is well. I hope he is well, and I hope he kicks all of the asses. I mean, it's kind of hard not to root for him. He's got a lot going on right now. So my heart is with him, and I think skill-wise, I'm with him there too. And then on the prelims, I'm not super familiar with any of the fighters other than, I am going to pick, Ross Pearsman over Desmond Green by decision. Yeah, no, I'm sorry, not Ross Pearsman. I'm going to pick Desmond Green by TKO, actually. And then I'm going to pick Mariana Rodriguez over Alexa Grasso by decision. And then I'm going to take Ray Borg, hopefully by a second or third round submission. I'm going to bet on a finish there. And then I hopefully, you know, he gets finish of the night or something, because, again, everything that's going on in his life. And then we got the main card. Now, this card's not, like, crazy, but I'm taking that back. I just saw, like, never mind, this card is fucking awesome. There's a few fighters that I don't know, but I will know, because I try to watch every single fight. Now I have seen Sadiq Youssef, I hope I said that right, fight once, maybe. And I remember he did well. So I'm going to take him by decision over Shaman Marais, but I don't know Marais, so, you know, I could be wrong on that fight. Like I said, guys, I'm not a fight expert. I'm a huge fight enthusiast, so don't bet on my picks, and don't get mad if I don't know every single fighter yet, you know. All right, so then in women's strawweight, though, we have Carolina Kolkovich. I don't know how to say her last name, but you guys have seen her fight a million times. I think she's fought Joanna once or twice. I know she fought Joanna on the same card that McGregor beat Eddie Alvarez on. And then she's fighting Michelle Watterson, and these are two of the baddest women on the planet. So this is a tough fight to call. I think, you know, they call Michelle Watterson the karate hottie, but like, I don't know if her stand-up is near at the level of Carolina Kolkovich. However, her grappling is much better. Honestly, for this fight, I'm going to have to say that I'm going to say Michelle Watterson second round submission, and that's a tough pick, guys. So yeah, I feel like her grappling's just not quite there yet. Well, not that it's not there, just not at the level of Michelle Watterson's. I've been very impressed with Michelle Watterson's, like, ability to take people down and all of that. So I'm going to say Michelle Watterson, second round submission, if not that, a decision. But I think she can finish Carolina, even though Carolina is one of the toughest women on the planet. So that's a pretty bold pick on my part. But yeah, I think the grappling is going to be the difference, because I think that Michelle Watterson can strike very well. I think that Carolina striking's better, but I think that she can I think she can get it down and finish it there. Next we have Josh Emmett, who I believe is he training out of Team Alpha Male? I think so. Versus Michael Johnson. Josh Emmett's a bad mofo, and so is Michael Johnson. Again, another tough fight that I cannot wait to see. I could see Michael Johnson winning this fight. However, I am going to go with Josh Emmett. I'm going to say Josh Emmett actually gets it done by TKO KO round three. I think that his cardio will keep going. And I think the longer the fight goes, the better the odds of Josh Emmett winning are. I think the earlier rounds of the fight and the earlier minutes of the fight, that's going to be the most dangerous waters for Josh Emmett. And the best chance for Michael Johnson to score a knockout, because Michael Johnson kills people with his hands. Yeah, I'm gonna say Josh Emmett wins this fight. Round three, TKO, KO. Next we have David Branch versus Jack Hermanson. And I'm gonna take David Branch. I am gonna take David Branch by way of. They're both good on the ground. So again, a bold pick on old Wyatt's part. I guess I gotta say David Branch third round submission. This is a co-main, so I don't think it's five rounds, but if it's five rounds, I could see it going into the fourth round submission. But I'm gonna say third round submission. For David Branch there. And then we got, oh boy, guys, I'm excited. Edson Barboza versus Justin Gaethje. Yeah. Now, this is going to be a motherfucking fight, guys. This is amazing. I cannot believe that I didn't know this fight was happening sooner. I am going to take Edson Barboza, TKO round two. However, Justin Gaethje is very good, but he does take a lot of damage. So I think that he's going to get finished by Edson Barboza. But I think up until that point, it's totally possible he knocks out Edson Barboza because of how he fights. But I'm hoping Edson Barboza stays smart, uses his elite striking, and, is using his movement and not getting sucked into that, brawling range that Justin Gaethje excels at. So we are in for a dope ass fight. I'd be very surprised if it was anything but, although, like Francis and Derek Lewis, sometimes dope fights don't happen. But I would be very surprised if this fight was anything other than freaking amazing. I think this fight might end up being one of the contenders for fight of the year. I think that they both do their leg kicks so well too. Edson Barboza, of course, having the hardest kicks in the lightweight division. So I'm gonna say, if I had to pick, I'm gonna say it's a kick that's gonna put him out. I feel like it'd be a body kick, but that's a pretty bold pick. I'm not gonna get that broad. I'm just gonna say round two TKO. Man, this fight is gonna be freaking awesome. I'd be very surprised if it was anything but. So make sure you guys, pop your popcorn, get your beers or whatever you drink while you watch fights, and get ready for a showdown. I am excited for this fight. I'm excited for this card. And I'll move into my 148 breakdown after this. And so stay tuned while I pull that up. All right, guys. So I'm going to dive into the UFC on ESPN card. Starting with the prelims. Let me see here. Or sorry, not ESPN 2. The UFC Fight Night 148 results. So, I don't remember exactly who all I picked on. I'm pretty sure I picked Angela Hill, but Miranda Marcos won by decision, or not decision, sorry, submission in round one. Jennifer Maya, decision over Alexis Davis. Marlon Vera, KO round one over Frankie Sines. Bryce Mitchell won by decision over Bobby Moffitt. And then Macy Barber got a KO, TKO round two over JJ Ardrich. That's a tricky name, guys. John Mokdesi got a decision over Jesus Pinedo. And then I only got to see the main event because I had a super busy weekend. So I do plan on going back and watching the event. Curtis Blaydes got a decision over Justin Willis, which I was happy to see. I felt that Justin Willis was talking a little bit of trash about Curtis Blaydes, and like from what I've seen, Curtis Blaydes is a pretty respectful individual. So I was a little surprised that Justin Willis was coming after him and, you know, trash talking him, and like he's saying he's a boring fighter with no personality. And Curtis Blaydes can be a quiet dude, but like for the most part, he seems like a nice, respectful guy, you know, who's honestly kicking ass in the sport. So I was a little surprised he was talking trash about him, and I was very happy to see that Curtis Blaydes beat him and you know, gave a little trash back. But again, I only got to see the main event, so I'll go back and watch that fight. From what I saw though, of, you know, cause I did see some highlights of that fight, was that Curtis Blaydes was pretty dominant and just kind of wrestled him how he does. So good on Curtis Blaydes there. So moving on to the main event though. So it's Anthony Pettis versus Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. Now, I'm sure most of you guys know how this fight ended, and I just thought it would be an important little note that Stephen Thompson had 80 or 85 fights, and he's never been knocked out until this fight. So, little, I mean, it's crazy. It was a Superman punch at the end of the second round. It was like a surprise knockout for me. Like, I was watching and I was like, this will probably go to a decision. Just by the pace of the fight, Wonderboy was doing pretty much whatever he wanted to do, without a whole lot of resistance from Pettis, other than the leg kicks, which I thought he was doing great with. And yeah, just at the end of the second round, Pettis threw that Superman punch, caught him, knocked him out, and, yeah, he's never been knocked out before. It was a good fight. I felt like, I feel like Pettis, should really go back to lightweight, because, Stephen Thompson was notably much larger than him in the octagon, but, congrats to Pettis. I honestly, he's been doing great lately. Like, I thought he would have won the Tony Ferguson fight had his hand not broke. So, yeah, no, I'm really impressed with him lately. I think he's going to make another run and do even more great things in the sport. I mean, that was amazing, and no one saw it coming. And again, Wonderboy had never been knocked out. So, congrats to Pettis. All right, anyways, guys, so that's my breakdown of, I know it was a quick one, of UFC Fight Night 148. I've already given you my picks on fighting ESPN on UFC on ESPN 2. I mean, only thing I've really got to say to wrap up this episode is that with Ferguson's whole situation, I hope it gets better. I think that once things like that start happening, it's usually time to retire. I've had talks with family and friends, you know, like if anything starts happening or I get too many concussions, like I'm going to stop fighting because it's not worth it. But, you know, to take that much damage to the point where your personality starts changing. So I hope he gets that figured out. I will have another episode for sure next Monday, but I'm hoping to maybe get in a bonus episode on Friday, but we'll see. I'm not promising anything. You guys have fun out there, and thank you for tuning in to episode 6 of my podcast.